Good morning. I think most of you hopefully know who I am. My name's Eilis, and I'm married to Luke over there, who's actually finally here to hear something I'm saying. He normally manages to get out of having to listen to me. So he's stuck in here this morning. And we're covering Psalms this summer, so I was asked to do it, and I could pick any psalm, which sounds great, but then you realise all the other psalms that other people have picked, and you're like, even though there's like 150 of them, where do I start? So I just started with one that I liked. And then God really spoke to me out of it. So we're going to be looking at Psalm 33 today. And it's entitled Sing a New Song. Now, when you see that title, there are probably at least two reactions that you'll have. The first one might go like this. Why? Why do I have to sing a new song? Why on earth would I put myself through that? It's tricky. It's embarrassing. I don't know where to start. If you get past the point where you begin to think, okay, yeah, maybe it does say in the Bible to sing a new song. Maybe I should. Then you get to the point of, well, how? Okay. So I'm hoping to cover some of these this morning and just give us a real biblical grounding in why we sing to God, and how we can begin to express what he's doing in our lives through song in our own special way. Okay, so it's going to be a little bit challenging today. Hopefully in a really gracious, loving way. I really don't want anyone going home scared or feeling like they've been bullied into singing this morning. So that is not my heart at all. But my heart is that we grow as a church family into all that God has got for us. And it does command us in the Bible to sing a new song, as we're going to read in this psalm. And so that's kind of my starting point. It's not just because I like singing and so I think everybody should do it. Okay, although I think that's still valid. It's actually a biblical command. And I just want to be helpful and encourage you. This isn't about putting anybody on the spot. And at certain points, I'm going to make myself quite vulnerable by showing you some things that I've done at home on my own as well. Okay. So let's start by reading Psalm 33 together. So you might want to turn to it. I have got it on the screen if you haven't got it in a Bible. I think we still have some spare Bibles somewhere. So if you did want to see it written down and you don't have your own copy, please just put your hand up, let somebody know, and we'll make sure you get one. Okay. So Psalm 33, it's about halfway through the Bible. If you're not sure where to find it, it's like page 560 in my one. So you hopefully can find it that way. Okay. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. So that's us. We're God's people. We're righteous. So sing joyfully to the Lord. It's fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. I don't know how many of you have got those lying around. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke. Sorry, I'm forgetting to. Oh no, I'm still good. For he spoke, thank you, Linda, and it came to be, it's magic. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. That's a great psalm, isn't it? I was so excited to get to read that over and over again for the last rite. So I want to start looking at why, what reasons does the psalmist give us for singing this new song to God? Okay, and I want to suggest that from this psalm, there are at least, I've just picked out 6 reasons why we can praise God by singing a new song. Okay, there are loads more, but I've chosen these 6 because to me, they just jumped out as being an obvious way to break the psalm down. Okay, so if we go to verse 4 and 5, the psalmist says, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love." So I want to suggest that the first reason that the psalmist gives us for singing a new song is that we have God's word. Okay? And that actually his word is fantastic. And when we live our lives according to his word, things begin to work. Things begin to fall into place. The Message is just a different translation of the Bible. It kind of brings it slightly more into 21st century language. Okay, so sometimes it's helpful just to read different translations of the Bible because they can just help us understand, because the Psalms are written in poetry and sometimes we can need to pick that apart a little bit more to really understand what it's saying. And in the Message version, it says, "For God's word is solid to the core. Everything he makes is sound inside and out. He loves it when everything fits, when his world is in plumb line true." And I love that. If you picture that plumb line, like if you've tried to hang wallpaper and you have a plumb line that comes down, it shows you whether the next piece of wallpaper is going up straight or not. And it's kind of like as we read God's word, we begin to see our lives in relation to his plumb line. And actually, things in our lives just gradually begin to measure up more and more to his word. And actually, that means that our lives kind of come into line with how he designed us as human beings to live and to work right. So things just begin to change in our lives as we read God's word. And as that happens, there's just a song that comes out of our lives. Actually, as we prove God's word is true, like Alice said this morning, as we prove God's word works, as we prove that he is faithful and all these things that we discover about him in his word are true, then actually a song begins of praise begins to come out of our hearts. Okay. He made all of creation. So the next section says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm." I don't know if you've ever thought about how deep the depths of the sea are. I had a little Google about it this week because I just thought, well, you know, he gathers the deep into storehouses. Yeah, yeah, pretty poetry. Actually, the deeps are really deep. So I tried to kind of get it so we could imagine it a little bit more. This picture is a bit small up on here, but that was taken by me because I had the privilege last year of going up the Empire State Building. Okay, and that was pretty high for me. I was pretty proud of myself that I made it up there and looked over the edge and took a photo, because that for me was groundbreaking. And that's about 1,224 feet high. Okay, and that's the view you get. The average depth of the oceans is 12,100 feet. So that's about 1,000. So they're like 12 times that depth. That's the average. Okay. Mount Everest is 29,028 feet high. Okay, so like 30 times that high. Pretty high. Don't think you'll ever get me climbing that. Challenger Deep, which is the deepest part of the ocean, is 36,200 feet deep. So even deeper. So the depths of the ocean are deeper than the highest points of Earth. And we get this throwaway line in the psalm, "God gathers the deep into storehouses." Nothing to him. just something he puts by for another time. It's amazing, isn't it? And it's like the psalmist just has this revelation of just how big God is. How infinitesimal his works are. Everything that he's done. And there are times, aren't there, when we just see God's glory in his creation afresh. Maybe we go on a walk and we just see a view that just blows us away. Maybe a child is born and we just look at them and we just can't stop looking at them and just thinking, how has this happened? How has this little being been made? How is that possible? And we realize again the vastness of God and how amazing he is compared to us, like we were singing about this morning. And I just believe there's a song of worship that comes in those times. There's something that comes out of our hearts that just wants to sing, that just wants to express, because we can't express it almost any other way. Third reason, God is in control of world orders and powers. So it says in verse 10, the Lord foils the plans of the nations, he thwarts the purposes of the peoples, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Now I again want to go to the Message version of these same verses and just read this because it's going to lead into a point I'm going to make. It says for the same verse, God takes the wind out of Babel pretense. I'm going to explain that. He shoots down the world's power schemes. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you've read the story of the Tower of Babel, but it's been one I've struggled with a bit. It's in Genesis 11. And basically at that point in world history, mankind is pretty full of themselves. They think they're pretty amazing. They've got together. They've learned how to make bricks. Woohoo, man. They've learned how to build buildings. And so they get together. Ha, ha, we don't need God anymore. Look, we're going to build a great big tower and then we'll be God. Woo, sorted. We've outgrown God. Sound familiar? The way the Bible sometimes is written, sometimes I struggle to understand what it really means. Okay, so the way I read it, that story, is God then goes, oh my goodness, look at that tower. It's nearly reached heaven. We're in trouble, guys. We didn't see this coming. Oops. And we're only like a little way into human history. Panic stations. What should we do? I know, new language for everyone. That'll sort it out. And I've really struggled with that over the years. I thought, why is God panicking? Doesn't he know everything? Isn't he in control? Like, why the panic? So when I read this, I thought, oh, I'm really going to have to deal with this now, aren't I? I'm going to have to look into Babel. So I was really praying. And I know you've probably sorted this out years ago and figured it all out, but for me it was quite a big deal. So I was really asking God about this, and I just felt him say, no, it wasn't panic, which I kind of knew it wasn't, but I didn't really know how to understand it anyway. He said, what it was about my glory. Okay. So you didn't want them stealing your glory by building a tower? No. He said, it was about showing man my glory. Because with all their cleverness, with all their ingenuity, they thought they'd got rid of the need for me. They'd built their massive tower. And then in one moment, I caused something that's taken thousands of years to get to the point where we can all communicate as a world again, hasn't it? One moment and God creates everyone speaking different languages. What was that supposed to do? Was it God panicking? No, it was God showing his authority. It was God showing that he'd made each one of those people and that by his will, in a moment, he could change all that. And suddenly they couldn't even talk to one another anymore. You want to build a great big tower? You want to get rid of me? Look how much you need me. One moment, you can't do anything anymore. Back to the start point, guys. And why did he do that? Just to show off? Just to show he's God? No, because he wanted man to recognize their need for him and turn back to him. That was the point at which humanity was supposed to go, oh my word, we're really nothing, are we? God's there, we need him. We still didn't get it, but you know, that was God's heart in it, I believe. That was his purpose in it. If you've watched the Avengers film, I'm not going to give it away, but there's a moment where Thanos clicks and some stuff happens. And it was almost like that moment in human history. It was like God clicked. No one could communicate. Everything changed. It was supposed to make mankind realize that they are nothing. They are insignificant. And I believe there are times when God does that with us, not in an unloving way, not to be harsh with us, not to judge us, but actually to remind us when we're getting a bit big for our boots, when we start to think in our lives, oh, actually, sorry, this life thing, woohoo, doing all right. God sometimes allows something to change just to remind us that he is God. He is the one that we need. He is the one that we rely on. And in our nation, that can happen, can't it? And at the moment, however you feel about everything that's going on politically, we're in a really tumultuous time. And we need to remind ourselves that actually it's God that is in control of world powers and orders. One click from him and everything can change. It's not down to us to sort everything out in our human power and strength. We have someone greater to rely on and to trust. And there are times when God just reveals that to you. Maybe it's a moment of humility and you sing a song of God. I'm sorry that I was relying on my own strength and not on you. I'd forgotten how much I need you. Or maybe it's a moment where you go, God, whatever is going on in my life or in our nations, I know you are bigger than this. I know you are in control. And that line where it says, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. That doesn't change. That never changes. Whatever God is doing, it is about his plans and his purposes. It is about his glory. It is about his kingdom coming. It is about the church advancing. It is about his kingdom being made known. It's about his love being shed abroad so that everyone can hear about the name of Jesus and what he's done for them. And that doesn't change. So God is always in control. And if our lives are in line with his word and his way, then we will be coming towards that as well, whatever else is going on around us. Okay, the next reason. God watches us. Now, this can sound a bit creepy stalker, but it's not. Let's read it. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. Again, in the message, it says, God has shaped each person in turn. Now he watches everything we do. And I want to suggest that we need to make sure that we're seeing this as God watching us like a doting parent. If you've seen a parent that just can't get enough of their child watching them. Every little thing that they do, they just see. They love every new thing they do, every bit of play that they do. They're watching and they're just loving seeing what they're doing. And I believe that's the heart with which God watches us. It's not to catch us out. It's not to call us out on everything that we do wrong or whatever. It's this loving parent who's caring and involved, not a distant God sat back going, oh, go on then, I'm going to watch you, like I do sometimes with my kids, but not such a great parent. But God is caring, he's involved, he's invested in us. And there are times in our lives where God just shows us again how precious we are to him, how he loves us, how he sees everything that's going on in our lives, how he is intimately involved in every part of our lives. And then a song just comes out because we see how much he cares for us and how much he loves us. Okay, next one, we succeed with God. So it says, no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. I want to suggest that here, the psalmist is talking about salvation. Because, believe it or not, a horse can't give you eternal life. A king's armies can't give you eternal life. You can have all the possessions and all the worldly strength and still not get eternal life. And still actually not succeed in life. God is the one that saves us through Jesus. God is the one that gives us godly success. And success in God's eyes may not look like success in the world's eyes. It may not look like we have the biggest army. It may not look like we have the strongest weapons. But actually, we succeed because of God. And we succeed when we put him first in our lives and when we follow his plan and purpose for our lives. So it's recognizing that our success is not in the size of our army, but in the one who makes armies. So we just need to have that viewpoint again of what true success is and making sure that our lives are lined up with God in that. And finally, the final reason that the psalmist gives to sing a new song to God is God rescues us. I love this bit. Yeah. So it says in the last few verses, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. Or as it says in here, he's ready to come to their rescue in bad times. In lean times, he keeps body and soul together. So if you're a Christian here today, you've already experienced God rescuing you with the ultimate rescue plan through Jesus. And you know that you just feel such a gratitude when you realize that you've been saved, that everything you've ever done, every bit of rebellion, every bit of your own work and effort has been just dealt with, has been paid for all eternity, and you are now God's child forever through what Jesus has done. And there is a song that arises when that happens. And if you haven't experienced God rescuing you in that ultimate forever way today, then can I just encourage you, please come and find out more. Come and find out more about how Jesus can rescue you, whatever situation you find yourself in today. He has the ultimate rescue plan and he will be able to save you and rescue you. But actually, that's not the end of it, is it? As we go on and live our lives, God rescues us again and again and again. And even when we get ourselves into a mess again, he rescues us again. He is the ultimate rescuer God. I remember just some personal examples of just times when God has rescued me, and it's just, I've been so overwhelmed that all I could do was just dance and just sing and just express that gratitude to God. There was a point at which we had young children and financially things were extremely, extremely tight. And we had a bit of money that we owed, and I was really worried. It wasn't like desperate, but in my heart, I was really worried. And I'd been praying and praying. And my grandma died. And months and months and months later, wasn't even thinking about it, a check arrived in the post. And it was something my mum had kept secret from me. I wasn't expecting anything at all. Do you know, I wept and I praised God when that came through, because he is our rescuer. He knew about that. He knew about that provision, even when I didn't. I was teaching in secondary school science, and it got to the point where it had broken me. And I remember saying to God, I just can't do this anymore. And I felt so bad. I felt as a Christian, I should be able to cope with it. I should be able to do with it. I should be victorious and everything. I felt like such a failure. Do you know, over the next 2-3 years, God just proved his faithfulness. I was able to come out and do jobs that I loved, and he just provided month after month after month. And I was able just to sing such a song of joy and hope and deliverance, because I was proving God's rescue in my life in that way. You will have your own stories. You will have your own times when God rescues you, when he works things out for you. And there will be a song that arises. Can I encourage you? Go with that. The psalmist gives that as a reason to sing, a reason to praise God. Okay, so we've looked at why biblically. Okay, this is why practically as well. And I love this because I love singing. So, singing strengthens your immune system. Do you know that it raises your number of antibodies? If you sing for an hour with other people, it raises the number of antibodies in your body. And that's not the same if you just listen to music. You actually have to participate, okay? It's a workout, so it improves your lung function. It improves your aerobic capacity. Improves your posture, because when you sing, you're supposed to expand your chest, put your shoulders back, head up. In case you didn't know, that's how you should be singing. I expect to see that in a minute. No. So it can, if you sing right, improve your posture. It helps with sleep. So it strengthens the muscles in your palate and throat, so it decreases your snoring. It can even help you with sleep apnea, if that's something you struggle with. Okay, it's a natural antidepressant. Now this I found fascinating. I knew it released endorphins, right, which is a chemical that makes you feel happy. Great, like eating chocolate. Eat chocolate, sing. But what I didn't know is that they've recently found out that there's a tiny organ in your ear called the sacculus that responds to the frequency of singing and releases a sense of pleasure. I never knew that. Do you know we're made in the image of God? Do you think there's a part of God that actually, like, he created the sacculus because that's how he experiences our singing? Is actually, he experiences that pleasure when we sing to him. And you know, it doesn't matter what the singing sounds like for that pleasure to be experienced. It can sound awful, and you still experience that pleasure from that frequency of sound. That's how God experiences our singing. It's like listening to a little kid sing. You don't care if they're in tune or not, or what it sounds like. It's just, you love their joy in singing, don't you? God loves our heart. That's what he listens to when he hears us sing. Okay, it lowers our stress levels. So it releases cortisol, which is a stress hormone. So it decreases your muscle tension. It improves your mental alertness by increasing your blood circulation, so it can help with dementia. It boosts your confidence, and it broadens your communication skills. Babies need to be sung to and sung with to give them a good foundation for language in their brain. And singing is as important as reading and writing to prevent language problems in young children. It's almost like we were designed to do it, isn't it? So what I love is God commands us to sing because it brings him glory, because of everything he's doing in our lives and everything he's done and who he is, we sing. But as we do that, it does us good and blesses us at the same time. Doesn't that so sound like God? To me, that sounds like God. Okay, so there's another important reason why we need to sing, and that's in these final verses. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. The psalmist is in a place of reality, isn't he? He's not going, everything's fab, everything's sorted in my life, so I'm singing out of a place of I'm sorted, everything's wonderful. He's like, this is your word, this is why I should be singing to you. I'm going to trust you that as I do this, you're working all this out, and you've got a plan, and you've got a place. I want to suggest that this line, this didn't come from me, this was a talk I heard about 18 months ago, and it was really amazing about worship. It says, what I have believed and spoken over my life becomes my song. Some of us have an Eeyore song, don't we? If you've ever watched Winnie the Pooh, we sound like Eeyore in our hearts because we've given up and we have a song that doesn't have faith. And there's something about the songs that we sing that break old cycles. When I was younger, as I've spoken about before, I struggled with anxiety in a very major way. I used to have thoughts that would come into my mind that would really upset and disturb me, and made me feel like I was really not a very good person at all. And it was to a point where it was really not healthy. But at that point in my life, I used to take Bible verses that were the opposite of how I was feeling and write a song about them, and that's what I would sing. Won't work for everybody. But there is something about changing your song breaks cycles. And when we sing out, like when you come and you sing on a Sunday morning, you sing truth, it breaks cycles, it breaks mindsets. When you sing praise to God in the middle of your circumstances, when you use a song to cry out to him or to say thank you, it's breaking cycles in your life. You, in order to sing a song, you have to come into agreement with what God says. And that's always a good place to be in. It's like that plumb line again, where we bring our lives in line with what God says. And we are made to make a sound. We are made to be an individual before God, praising and worshipping him, bringing our own unique flavour and sound of worship. There's a sound that is you. There's a sound of worship and praise that only you can make to your Heavenly Father God. And as we release that, there's a power in that. Okay. So that's why. How? So as I've talked about already, sometimes there are points where our hearts just brim over with joy. God's done something amazing. We've discovered something in his word. We've seen an amazing view. Okay? And we realize again we're his. We realize again what Jesus has done for us, how amazing he is. Okay? Or maybe there's a point where we realize again how dependent on God we are. And we just go, oh my word, I need you, God. And there's a song of that comes out. Maybe there's a time when we need to call out to God. Doesn't want to work. Okay? And the psalmist does this all the time. So songs don't have to just be victorious. They can be, God, I need you. I don't know what to do in this situation. I'm drowning, God. I'm overwhelmed, God. I can't sleep, God. I'm full of fear, God. I don't even know what I'm feeling, God. There's just this sound. That's all I can make right now. And that's appropriate too. Or maybe we want to feel his love more. The psalmist ends, doesn't he, with, may your unfailing love be with us, Lord. Lord, I want to feel your love. Lord, I want more of your love. Lord, I need you to fill me with your love again. And that's, again, an appropriate song to be singing. Now, I figured in a moment we're going to give this a go. We're going to do it very gently and very calmly and very kindly, so please don't panic, okay? And you can all sit there in silence and just leave me to sing by myself if you so wish. Please don't, but you can. You're not allowed to. But I thought, because I'm going to ask you to get vulnerable, hopefully in a very safe way, I thought it was time that I got a bit vulnerable. So we're going to try this. I'm hoping this mic will pick it up. These are just some things that I sing at home. Sometimes I record them, not because I like the sound of my own voice. I think this is great. But just in case I ever want to use them in the future. Okay? So I'm going to play you a couple of things that I've written out of different moments in my life that have come out. Just little snippets. They're only a few seconds long each, but I figure if I do this, then that's embarrassing. Then hopefully you might feel less embarrassed about trying to sing with everybody else in a minute. Okay? So this one's called Joy. This was just... Oh, yeah, we'll use that one instead. That might work better. Okay. So this one's called Joy. Excuse my voice. It's just on that.
Joy, joy, joy. 'Cause I belong to Jesus. Joy, joy, joy. Deep down in my soul, joy, 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 can never spoil faith. Joy, 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 never let me go.
See, they're not amazing. They're just what comes out of my worship. Suddenly I felt God's joy. Let's find another one. They're all near the beginning. Sorry. I practiced this last night so I could find them quickly and now I can't. Okay, this is a different one. So that one's about joy. I go wrong in this one, I think.
Sing your song all about me. Sing your songs of victory. Sing your songs of joy.
So you can see how that was me, just, God, I want more of your love. So there we go. I think you've heard enough of that now. So I just want to encourage you that actually some songs, some of you might, you know, write amazing songs. Some of you might just sing one word in a moment. That's just what God is speaking to you, okay? But it's about expressing the song that is in our heart. So what we're going to do, the band are going to come up. Please, Simo, thank you. Don't panic, you're not going to do anything yet that involves singing anyway. And I'm going to go through each of those points again and just remind you. And as the band plays, I just want you to be before God quietly and just see which one stirs in you. Okay? And I just want you to come up maybe with one word, maybe just with two words, five at most. Okay? Really short phrase. Okay? Just something that's coming out of these reasons why we can sing to God. Okay? And then we're going to have a go. The band are going to play really loud so no one can hear anything. And you're just going to have a go at just singing maybe that one word on one note. Okay? And I'll show you how to do that in a minute, so don't panic. But I just think it's important that we learn to do these things. We are family. This is a safe place. I want you to be able to sing your songs to God. I believe it's biblical. I believe it will do you good. And so I want to just show you a little bit of the beginnings of how to do that, okay? So if you don't want to, if you're a visitor here and you think we're all nuts, that's fine. You can just enjoy the sound that everyone else will make, okay? But if you can at all possibly be brave enough just to give this a go, I really believe it will bless you, okay? So the band are going to play, and we're just going to go through. No, quiet now, quiet for the moment. Do you want us to play loud? Not yet. In a minute. Don't you love Simo? I said I wanted loud sound, so he got together this whole band this morning for me, so that when we're all singing together, it's going to drown you out. You can do what you like, okay? Not because I think you'll sound awful, but I know how it can feel like when you're there and I'm like, you're like, I don't want to, I can hear myself. So we tried to sort that out. But for now, they're just going to play just to help, because I just think it's something about music. I'm just going to pray before we start doing this bit. Lord God, I thank you for singing. Lord, I thank you that you've made us to sing your praises. Lord, you've made us to be blessed as we give you glory through our songs. That you've given each one of us a personal song, a personal sound to make to you. That you love to hear because we're your children, and you love it when we just take risks and learn something new and just express our love and our heart and our desire for you and our need for you and our vulnerability. Lord, and we just recognize again this morning, you are God. We are your creatures. Lord, we're made by you. And we want our lives to run your way. We want to come in line with your word, with how you've made us to be. Lord, and we trust you in that. And Lord, even if we're a bit scared about singing out to you this morning, Lord, we want to feel secure enough in your love and in the love of our church family, Lord, to be able just to begin to learn to express our love to you in this way. And I pray as we go home, Lord, this wouldn't end here. Lord, this would be something that we try at home on our own. Lord, this would be something that you draw out of us, that we experiment with, that we enjoy expressing our love to you in this way, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us all again? Help us to give glory to Jesus as we worship now. Amen. So for the first thing, we're going to just have a think about God's word. Maybe there's a particular verse that's speaking to you at the moment. Maybe God's going to bring a verse to mind. Maybe it's just a reminder of your life coming into line with his word, of trusting his word. Just ask God, are you speaking to me about this? Is there something you want to say to me about your word this morning? Maybe it's just one word that just stands out. Maybe it's about God's glory that he made all of creation. Maybe you've seen an amazing view this week. Maybe you've seen something happen and you're just blown away by how God has made this creation so beautiful and so wonderful, and yet he's bigger than it all. Maybe there's one word you can pick out from that. Maybe it's a reminder that God is in control of world powers and orders. Maybe you've been shaken by what's happening in our nation, and God wants to reassure you again this morning. that He is in control, that His plans and purposes will be what unfolds. Maybe it's that God's brought you to a place where you realise that you need to give Him control of your life again, maybe for the first time. Maybe it's just that sense of that loving Heavenly Father watching over you, caring for you, involved in your life, not distant, not critical, not harsh, taking joy in the songs that you sing Him, delighting over you, smiling over you this morning. Maybe there's a word that just arises as you realise that about God afresh. Maybe it's the reminder that you need God to succeed, that actually however many resources you have in this world, however strong your army looks, actually that can't save you. Maybe you need God to save you for the first time this morning. Maybe you need to put your trust in Jesus, say sorry for trying to live life your own way, say that you want to follow Jesus and trust Him to save you. Maybe you just need to hand over what you've been trusting in rather than God this morning. Maybe it's just the reminder that you've been rescued by God. If you belong to Jesus, you have been rescued. You're never going back to captivity again. Maybe there's a song in your heart. Maybe there's a word that comes out of just thankfulness to God for saving you. Maybe there's something that He's rescued you from really recently. Maybe there's something you need rescuing from, and there's just a word or a sound in your heart that just expresses, God, I'm desperate right now. God, rescue me from this.